We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle have won in the last minute against Nottingham Forest, 90+3. What a win. What a feeling. What a fucking footballer Alexander Isak is. I'm Alex. I'm in Nottingham still, but in our office in Newcastle, we'll have Charlotte, Kyle, and Si to talk to you about this game, what happened, why, and why it feels so, so good to win like that as Newcastle make it two in a row to put fucking loads of pressure on all of the teams around us as we chase this top four place going into the end of the season. We're on Patreon between £3 and £8 a month. Come and celebrate with us. Come and relive it. Come and talk about it lots with us on that platform. Loads of extra podcasts between now and the international break before we welcome Manchester United in an absolutely huge game in the context of this season. Normally, I would go to one of my esteemed colleagues here to talk about the opening point, but I'm going to start this one because I was in that away end last night and it was absolutely sensational. One of the great away ends. One of the great wins. Keith Downey, friend of the show, called it Newcastle's biggest win of the season. I don't know about that. I'll ask you guys in a minute, but it was certainly an absolutely massive win. It was a great night to be there. From a personal perspective, I was at Wembley. It was a bit shit. I was at Man City away. It was a bit shit. But Nottingham Forest last night, the away end was on fire. It was absolutely class. Scenes like that I have not witnessed before. Two injury time goals. Nottingham Forest crying. Unbelievable scenes. Charlotte, how was it for you?
Well, I watched it on the TV. I have to give a shout out to the away end. It was so loud on the TV. It was bouncing. It was really nice because you were behind the goal. There's a really nice sort of juxtaposition of the totally still Nottingham fans and the bouncing away end. It was lush. It was really good to see. I was very jealous of everybody there. How was it for me? It was kind of exhausting. Like, you just knew we deserved the win. We played very well. We should have been two up at halftime. And we had that goal. We'll obviously talk about the game in detail, but I felt really tense. I felt like it would have been deeply, deeply unfair if we hadn't won. So you're just sort of sitting on the edge of your seat at home thinking like, fucking hell, like, I hope we win this. We really deserve it. We really need it for this top four push. And we did. So that was okay. But it was kind of an exhausting watch, if I'm honest.
Exhausting. I'm still exhausted now. it was an exhausting game, which we'll get into. So much going on.
Yeah.
So much to talk about. But Si and Kyle, I've got to hear from you. How are you feeling this morning, Si?
Yeah, exhausted is the key word here. I think I picked Kyle up on the way to the office here and we both looked at each other and it's just like, how knackered do you feel after watching that game? Like, we don't make it easy, do we? I mean, we're obviously going to talk about the refs and why it wasn't easy in periods. But yeah, it was such a draining experience watching Newcastle. And that's 2 weeks in a row where we should have been out of sight by half time, but instead we've chosen to make the game last 90 minutes plus to the end. So yeah, I am also exhausted, but as you can tell, very, very jubilant this morning.
Yeah, I think just to look at it, I do agree with what Gillespie says in that it is the most important win of the season because of which way we got it, but it's definitely the most satisfying as well. Like, you have, everything that went against, where we hit the bar twice in ridiculous circumstances, one of the worst decisions I've ever seen in VAR. for to just get over the line and get that win, it just so satisfying. And like the magician Alexander Isak, like, oh my god, like I'm part Swedish now, like it's just like I absolutely love him. I'm like I've learned a little bit of Swedish, kom igen, which is come on in Swedish, but slow baby steps. But like he's just a wizard, like he's just unbelievable. Like I can't sum him up anymore. He's unbelievable, like just mental performance.
Well, Kyle, we're going to ask you to sum up more later in the show as we talk about the main man even more. However, I just want to give a couple of like insights to last night from my perspective. Number one, post game, I waited for the players to come across and then had to leave because I had a taxi to get back to where I'm staying outside of Nottingham, and I couldn't miss it. But it meant that I was pretty much walking out among solely Nottingham Forest fans, and it was an absolute delight to listen to their grievances. Absolutely brilliant. Newcastle were brilliant. They were miles ahead of us. We didn't lay a glove on them. We didn't have a shot. We let them back into the gate. Like, it was just brilliant to hear. That's one of my favourite things, is kind of being undercover. Because
a mole.
They wouldn't have those conversations. Instead, what you get is you get kind of, you know, a level of insight you wouldn't otherwise get. So I really enjoyed that. And also, it was really, really important to win that game last night for many reasons, but also a very specific thing to me and anyone else that was there in 2016. When that goal was disallowed, I was just like, what is life? Like, how are we here in this ground once again being completely shit on by the officials to such an extent that the result of the game is going to be unrecognisable. It was just mental. Matt Ritchie was there. That was a head fuck. Am I in 2016? Has it been a dream? Who are these other lads on the pitch? And to win that game in the last minute was somewhat closure. Obviously, we're going to relive it all on this podcast imminently. But just an absolutely brilliant night. And it's just, I'm going to keep saying it, and it's not just about the Ashley years. It's not just about Bruce and all that shite. We deserved that last night. All of the shit that we've been through this season as well, with referees, with bad luck, with injuries. We deserved that as a support, as an awareness, as a team. And just so proud of the lads. And we talked about this game in the run-up, and we did a preview on Patreon. Like, top four teams go away to sides like that and put them to the sword. And we did it. And I don't think a top four team will have played better this season there than we did. Obviously, Spurs won there. And, you know, Man City failed to win there. Liverpool got beat there. Chelsea lost there. But what a performance. And what a night. And just so proud of the lads, every single one of them. Apart from Sven Botman, maybe. But he's been class the rest of the season. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a bit. Back to you guys, though, because I've been doing a lot of talking. Charlotte, how did you feel? I think you referenced there, or one of you referenced there, about the idea that we weren't going to win that game was a real possibility. So how did you feel going into injury time? What was the mood in your household?
Into injury time, 6 minutes. I was like, right, 6 minutes is fine. We are dominating. We're still pressing. I said to my dad, I was watching my dad, and I said to him early on, I think when it was 1-1, I said, Nottingham Forest aren't going to be able to keep up with us athletically. We're a much fitter team than them. Wait until we get to about 60 minutes, 70 minutes, and they're just going to be out of steam. And you could started seeing that. So from that sort of 80 minute mark, it was after Anderson's disallowed goal, and that sort of was very frustrating, obviously, but you could just see us pressing and pressing and pressing. I was like, right, 6 minutes is fine, we can get something in 6 minutes. But you sort of also think, like, it would be the ref's decisions, the officials' decisions, this whole game have been shite. Like, it's all gone against us. Maybe we won't. And that seemed very real, and that seemed very unfair yesterday. Watching it, if that had been the case, I would have felt extremely aggrieved, because we were the better team on the pitch. We had these amazing chances. We had a goal ruinously disallowed. But yes, I felt tense. I think, to answer your question, I felt very tense, but I did feel that we could nick something.
So you at the start of the game, you know, bad Wi-Fi signal in the ground or whatever, message pops up on my phone saying, I thought missed chances were a thing of the past. How were you feeling about that, Si?
Yeah, certainly first half. We're hitting the bar twice, didn't we? I think Isaac hits one onto a player onto the bar. Willick early on slices one just wide. Longstaff hits it off a defender onto the bar. Like, you just think, here we go again. We're going to miss all these chances, and are we going to live to regret it? And it played out pretty much exactly the same as the Wolves game in that respect. It's like, yeah, we should be out of sight, and instead we've somehow made a game of this. So, yeah, it wasn't like we're making a hash of chances. We're getting very, very unlucky. You know, Willicks was just wide. That we hit the bar twice, and we were really, really piling on the pressure. It wasn't like the Man City game where they were kind of missed opportunities, but we didn't make anything of them. You know, missing the ball, not even hitting it, not even connecting, Wilson slicing it. So it was kind of like, the goals are coming here. The goals are coming here. We've just got to be patient. So it was a different feeling in that respect. But my God, one day we need to just put one of these games to bed. We should have been 3-4-0 up at half time 2 weeks in a row now. And it's just like, when's it going to happen? Hopefully against Man U, but yeah.
Be great.
Yeah, absolutely class to be able to watch us miss these chances, but know that more will come in.
Kyle, we'll finish part one with you. How were you feeling heading into injury time? Frustrated, obviously frustrated at the referee, but more on that to come. You know, like, sum up the mood for you about that winning goal and what it meant.
I think Charlotte just summed it up perfectly, really being tense. Like, it was just a roller coaster of a game. Everything happened. Like, we hit the bar, as Si says, twice in like ridiculous circumstances where it was like, honestly, with it being St. Patrick's Day yesterday, I honestly thought the whole Nottingham Forest team was Irish. Like, it was just like, it was just levels of like luck beyond. Like, if they had got away with a point, the fan reactions that you heard from the Forest fans would have been like that of amazement. Like, they've won the lottery. How we picked up a point. Like, it was just utter domination. And like, in the end, it was justice because we got a penalty and we got a goal. But like, it had everything that game. And I think if anything, that's why we all love and hate this team, because we should have been 3-4 up at half time, but they make you wait. And it's the most Newcastle thing, really, where they want to give you several heart attacks, several anxiety attacks, and everything in between before they give you the massive relief at the end. So yeah, I'm buzzing with the win, but going into that last thing, I felt robbed. I felt tense. I felt awful. I'm like, a Forest away again in the league. Like, a couple of years ago when we got robbed off, Dean Martin or something? The referee, I don't think that's his name, but like, I think it is closure for that one as well, because like, a lot of people still talk about that, the robbery in the Championship. So, and they tried it again, but this time they failed because of the mentality of this team.
Brilliant. Okay, that does us for part one. We're going to have a brief advertisement break before moving on to the rest of the show. You get this show without adverts or any adverts about adverts for Patreon for £3 a month. Please come and join us on Patreon back after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Okay, let's do part two of the show. There's only one place to start, and it is the striker from Sweden, Alexander Isak. Charlotte, how does he make you feel?
I don't think I can say on the podcast. Oh, God, he's good, isn't he? He's so good. He's just, I mean, I think Craig Hope tweeted after, like, wait until he's fully fit. Are we still not seeing the fully fit Alexander Isak?
Like, are we still playing that game of, oh, I don't know if he can do 90 minutes, lads.
Yeah,
surely,
but then,
like, the cat's out of the bag with that one now.
Yes, he did. He did 90 plus six, and they were all class. I don't know how to properly... When he's on the pitch, you just... I say I felt tense. I did. I feel when we get a penalty, I feel tense. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about the penalty because there's a lot of funny stuff around that as well. But they just make me feel tense. It's not about him, but he is just, he oozes class. He is, Adam said on our instant reaction on Patreon several times, or maybe Pete did, he's made of ice. He's ice cold. He is cool. And he just, nothing seems to faze him. There was a moment before the Anderson disallowed goal where he's on the floor and then he just sees the ball, and it's almost as if he's got this sort of force field around him where everybody else is slow and he just gets up and takes the ball. It's just nuts. I haven't seen a player like that in a really long time in a black and white shirt, and then he chips it over beautifully for Anderson, and obviously it's the Longstaff offside, which is just fucking abominable, but not Longstaff, the choice. But he's just amazing. The coolest penalty I've seen in ages. A goal off his shin, which is a lovely cross from Willock, but like, and a nice partnership there. But yeah, off the side of his boot or his shin, just amazing.
It was a skillful shin.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't like, it's bouncing off his shin. It's like he got his shin on that on that cross, like, deliberately. It was an intentional shin into the corner. Like, I've never seen it before.
It's just, I'm so happy that we've got a player like that at Newcastle United. At his age, there's still so much to come from him as well. With a training staff like Eddie Howe and Mad Dog, I just think, oh, there's loads to come. And he's just utter class, isn't he?
He's filth. Honestly,
going in a different direction here.
that performance last night, though, like, come on. Like, even the wrongfully disallowed goal, what a cross. Like, even his general play, like, coming deep for the ball, linking up play, like, he's just a joy to watch. And, like, Newcastle spending 60 million on anyone is, like, it's alien to us as fans. But, like, what a player, man. Like, he's just incredible performance. Like, 90-odd minutes that he steps up for that penalty, and it's, like, you'd think he was walking the dog. It was just nothing to him, and then he shushes the home end, which is great. But yeah, like, what a player, like, we've got on my hands here, and, like,
for a podcast, there's a lot of sighing in this one.
I don't know. I'm trying to sum him up, and
it was the noise of being content, Kyle. He's like, oh, he's just,
yeah.
Wow.
He's just unbelievable. Like, yeah. I'm changing my nationality just for him.
He's unbelievable. That's how it works.
Yeah, he's just unbelievable. Like, his performance last night, best striker performance I've seen in a while for Newcastle.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's he's two different kinds of quick. Obviously, he's very quick. He can run very fast, but his reactions, and Charlie, especially that moment when he comes off the floor, he does that kind of sort of he doesn't use his arms. He just appears standing again so fast. But just generally his reactions, he's so quick to react to situations. He's quick to chase down the ball. He's quick to then turn. His feet are impossible. Players can't tackle him because he's so quick and so explosive. They end up having to bundle like four or five defenders under him. And even then, he still sometimes comes out with the ball. Like he's a breath of fresh air because we were getting stale. And it's like, where has he been for the last 3-4 weeks? Because my God, we've needed this. And he's like better than anyone expected. Absolutely brilliant.
I'm going to get somewhat hyperbolic, but I'm allowed one.
We haven't been hyperbolic in a while on here, yeah. So.
Is he one of the best footballers I've ever seen?
wow.
You know what, yes. He is.
Whoa, hang on. Your incredulity there. I'm going to knock it back. is he the best striker to play for Newcastle? No. Is he the best goal scorer to play for Newcastle? No, not yet. Anyway, in terms of pure footballing ability, in terms of the ability, all-round game, pace, aerial ability, finishing, link-up play, beating a man, I don't know if I've seen a player at Newcastle before, and I'm not saying they haven't existed before my time, who can do all of those things at this level as well as he can so early into his Newcastle career. The fact that he now, what is it, six goals in seven starts, the injury problems, the fact that he had one of the informed strikers in the country for a little bit in front of him in his position, what a start he's made. He's so good. Charlotte, you're absolutely correct to raise the ability on the ball for that cross, for that Anderson non-goal. Wow. Just what, like the defenders are still looking for that ball now. They're still staring at the ball. I can't find it. Alexander Rizak has moved the ball from side to side so quickly that he's almost kind of, it's like a boxer. He's knocking them off guard. And then he's like, right, here we are. We're all standing still. I'm going to cross the ball. I'm not going to have to shift the ball. I'm just going to cross the ball. The ball is still, I'm going to cross it. It's going to be in the net 3 seconds later. Mm-hmm. Ability that I have not seen in a long, long time for Newcastle United player, Newcastle United striker. There have been better goal scorers. There have been better all-round pure strikers. You could argue we've got a lot more to come from Alexander Isak, like you said. It's an exciting time. Because I'm a football fan, because it's me, I'm absolutely delighted. Also a little bit annoyed. Why isn't he playing more, Eddie? Maybe it's been a build-up at this point. Why didn't he play in the cup final? But never mind that.
He did with Bruno, though, isn't it? Because Bruno's bent. And it's just little drip feeds. And you were sort of like, oh, he's Bruno's a bit more of a character. So we were after him a bit sooner. But my God, it's been worth the wait.
Well, as well, 6 points. The man has given us himself 6 points.
Yes.
Last-minute winner against Fulham. Last-minute winner there. Amanda Staveley said in an interview recently that Newcastle's commitment to financial fair play was such that they could not afford at this stage in their cycle, process, journey, whatever ridiculous word people use for these things, they could not afford to have an expensive failure. They couldn't buy a player like Alexander Isak and him not be absolutely fucking class. Well, good news, Amanda. He's class. He hasn't failed. He's mint. I wish Sweden didn't play football. stay home, walk his dog around wherever he's pictured walking his dog around, and just
look like Jasmine Bale to me.
Yeah, just train with the lads. But he's off. He's going to play football for another team. That's all right. I hope he does well. Come back, smash Man United. All will be well in the world. But what a performance! And just by the way, this 90 minutes thing's quite funny. What I want to say about him, it's not just the fact that he absolutely dominated that game for 90 minutes, or 90 plus 6 and what, 90 plus 3 in the first half. Sorry, 45 plus 3 in the first half. He does about 6 post-match interviews. He's not out of breath. He's not knackered. He looks like he's just about to start a day at work. What a fresh young man he is. He appeared.
Glenn texted me. Glenn, who does our graphics and things like that, he texted me after and he was like, how does he, they're interviewing Isak and he's not even sweaty. Like, he's just played 100 minutes of football. How is he so cool? Amazing. Yeah,
what a night. Alexander's night. And just so happy. What is it, 12 games left this season? If he stays fit for all of them, I'll see you next year at the Bernabeu, wherever we get, because he's going to fire us the Champions League. Let's take it another direction, though. let's go negative. I don't know who wants to start. Someone shout out and start.
I'll start.
Oh.
The VAR.
Kyle's ready.
Go on, Kyle. Go on, Kyle.
It's one of the worst like refereeing decisions I've ever seen. It's probably the worst refereeing performance I've seen, ironically, since Nottingham Forest away in the Championship. Like, I cannot wrap my head around it. Like, he was having a poor game in any way, was Tierney, with stupid fouls and stuff like that. And they, the reluctance to give Yates a yellow card after the amount of fouls that he gave in the first half. But this decision, like... Like I say, this game had everything. Like, I'm so buzzing about Isak and everything, but this referee, like, absolutely hopeless. I don't get it. Like, how can VAR, like, having technology of seeing the game back, and logically, like, the rules of the rules of football, it, like, if it touches two Nottingham Forest players, like, how can the previous play count as offside if it's touched two Forest players? If it touched one, then you have an argument, but two, no? Like, it's just basic football, like, stuff that every fan knows and apparently every referee knows, but clearly not. Like,
they should know.
It's just, it's ridiculous. Like, they've ruined Anderson's, like, big moment, and it's like, I can't, like, it's just ridiculous.
I think as well, it's that was the culmination of several terrible decisions all through the game. There should have been many more yellows, possibly even a red for Forest players throughout. I mean, the first half, there were some shocking decisions going against us. I was sitting there watching it thinking, like, no, this isn't going to happen. No, I can't believe this is happening, like, again for us. And then when that happened, when he was called over to the monitor for like an, sorry, I'm liking again a lot today. Sorry. For an offside decision, which should be straightforward. I know sometimes when it's the line and it's like, is the shoulder over the line? But has the ball hit Forest players? Is it still in play from the initial play? I mean, it's just fucking nonsense to me. And it took away a really amazing moment for Elliot Anderson, a really good goal for Elliot Anderson. As we've said, a great cross from Isak. That's what we expect. He's absolutely mint. But a really good goal and a really great moment in front of the away, right in front of the away fans for him. And it's just a fucking nonsense decision.
Yeah, it is the worst use of VAR to chalk off a goal ever. And it's happened to us. It would happen to us, wouldn't it? But like, desperately, like looking through every rule book to find a reason to make that goal offside. Like, it just didn't make any sense. It doesn't, none at all.
Like, I don't even know how that goes to VAR. Like, it kills all logic. But like, I don't know. Like,
Alex, have you got some intel?
Well, I have a theory, and this could be complete bollocks.
Is it lack of brain cells from the referee, Alex?
Well, basically, it was, so I was right, that the away end of Charlotte says, was right basically where that goal was scored, and Elliot Anderson scores, and I just, mental note to you guys that we must talk about him, but we'll move on to now. He scores, unbelievable celebrations, unbelievable scenes, all of that, 2-1, we're going to win by 6 because these are shite, wear class, it's sorted, we're done, the game's over. Nottingham Forest player who Elliot Anderson, I keep wanting to call him by his first name. I don't know why that is, but never mind.
Elliot?
I don't know the man. Never met him. the Forest defender who Anderson beats in the air pretends to be injured. About 3 Forest players go over to remonstrate with the referee that it's a foul on the player. The player is fine. It's not a foul. He's not hurt. It's all pretend. But what it does do is creates a massive delay before it's even announced that there is a VAR check. There are several minutes pass from the ball hitting the back of the net to it being announced there's a VAR check. And I was watching the referee closely because I'm thinking, that's not a foul. How is the guy even injured? Like, it's not a foul. I think possibly that massive delay by the Forest players, which is clearly a tactic, if you concede a goal like that, to take as much time as you possibly can, let the VAR find a reason to disallow the goal. And that's one of my big problems with VAR. It's not clear and obvious. It's not looking for injustices. It's looking for reasons to stop goals being scored. And I don't know, there could be complete bollocks, but I just feel like the referee was not in contact with his VAR for I don't know how long it was, but it seemed to me for between 2 and 3 minutes after the goal was scored, when it came up on the big screen on the ground, they were checking for offside. The first thing you thought was, how could it take so long to find an offside? If it's offside, surely that when the goal goes in, the VAR is already looking for offside. We knew Anderson wasn't offside. Isak wasn't offside, who played the ball in. And I just feel like they've gone through and looked for a reason to disallow the goal. Could be bollocks. They might have disallowed it anyway. But Forrest's kind of play act in there has elongated the process. If it's a normal goal, it doesn't take that long to identify if there's an offside. You then had another minute while the VAR looks at it. Then you had the referee go across. It just seemed like an age, and it's complete bullshit. If it takes you that long to disallow a goal for offside, you've got something wrong. Obviously, there are the technical points, which was explained on Sky last night, that if a player's offside, then if he's ahead of the last defender and the defender clears the ball, it doesn't count as a new phase of play. Sorry, blocks the ball. It wasn't a block, it was a clearance. The player kicked the football with his foot. That is how football works. It's complete bollocks to suggest he was offside there. And one of the big things that I hate about VAR and people's reaction to it is it's not the technology, it's the people. Well, the fucking linesman got it right. Well, the referee against Crystal Palace at home, they got those decisions right.
Yeah.
That football worked, the world worked, everything was fine. It's not just because we scored the goals. And then you've got some dickhead in the studio looking for if your job is to look for reasons to disallow goals, if that's what you get paid for, have a look at this goal and if there's a reason we can disallow it. You will find reasons to disallow the goal because it's your job. If there's anything there you can find to disallow the goal, you will do it. Once the referee, as has been said many times before, not just in this podcast, but I'm sure between you guys listening, when you talk to people about it, once the referee sent the monitor, it's almost like, why even bother?
Yeah.
It's a show. It's a facade. It's a kind of look, guys, we're giving it every chance. We're going to give him a second look. Like,
it's pantomime.
It was a goal. Yeah, it was a goal. I hate VAR. There are positive aspects to it. I think Alan Shearer kind of summed it up in a tweet he put out last night, and I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially was saying, this is not what we were sold.
Yeah.
Were sold. If they told the football world back in 2019, whenever they brought it in, by the way, this is VAR, this is what it's going to be, everyone would say no. Everyone would have said, this is bullshit, this is anti-football, don't do this. Elliot Anderson has had one of the moments of his life incorrectly taken away from him last night, and Newcastle got the points, which is the most important thing in the context of the fixture, but it's just wrong on every single level. We're all sick of it. They need to fix this because it's not sustainable moving forward. Newcastle were robbed. The referee, like you say, Charlotte, was away from this, was a pathetic.
Yes.
Forrest kicked our lads all night, tackles from behind, pulls back. Forrest shouldn't have been able to do that in the second half. Forrest's game plan in the second half was aided by the referee because 6 of their players should have been on bookings already, so they can do the same shit again. He's a bad ref, Tierney, and it's just bullshit. And I'm still angry about it. I feel robbed. I feel, you know, I'd already tweeted in the ground against the referee before the fucking goal, like all of that. The ref was so bad. Newcastle were robbed, and Eddie Howe, very, very diplomatic post game, saying, I don't really, you know, he was very kind of tongue in cheek. Oh, I don't quite understand the rules of this game. I've played all my life and worked in for 30 years. The rules to me, what are they? I clearly don't know. I'll have to check on them because it's absolute bullshit. Sorry.
Wow. That was quite the rant. I don't
Sit
know if
down,
there's
Alex.
Much more to say. I mean, I'll ask Paul Tierney next Sunday when he's reffing my Sunday league game because he shouldn't get another Premier League game after that. Because you're right, well, I'm still not convinced that they even know what the rules are, because you're right, it wasn't just one Nottingham Forest player clears it. One Nottingham Forest defender plays it to the other Nottingham Forest defender, who then clears it off Longstaff. So it's like they've had two opportunities to control and get rid of the ball. So as far as I'm concerned, they've got the laws of the game wrong, and that's the sort of thing where a Premier League referee gets taken off the following week, like, honestly. Yeah. But this is on top of all the stuff you've already said. You know, there was we had a perfectly good corner chalked off for a free kick that nobody can explain. And then a few minutes later, after John Joe Shelby and Yates have been going through Bruno just for fun, and then Dan Byrne questions a corner, and then says, well, what the fuck's going on here, ref? And he books him, and it's like, are you joking? Just absolute ludicrous refereeing display throughout the entire game, like you say, Dodds. It wasn't just the VAR incident, which is the worst I've ever seen. It was the entire game. It just felt like he just wasn't on top of it. Everything he did was just the wrong decision. It felt one-sided, albeit there might be some Forest incidents that he got wrong as well, but he just didn't have a hold of that game at all, and nearly spoiled it. But as you say, we got the point, so maybe we should move on from the ref.
He did spoil it because we've just had a 5-minute Alex rant about how the game, how the game's dead. But like, no, it is. It's just logically, it's just like, how can two phases of play be played and then you pull it back for two phases ago, like, and pull that offside? On that logic, where do you draw the line? Is there someone offside 10 minutes ago? Like, where do you draw the line? Like, it's fucking ridiculous. Like, you can't play football like that. And like, there is someone in a studio looking for reasons to disallow a goal. But logically, I don't even know how you can disallow that. Like, it's just like basic football stuff. And it's like, how do these referees say it? I'm sure they love another sport and they just say, oh, we'll put you on this week. Like, they've been probably covering the Six Nations or something, and then they've just been, right, you can do a Premier League match. It's basically the same thing. The ball's different, and there's different amount of players and stuff, but you can do it. Like, that's what it feels like. It just feels rushed, and the referees are absolutely atrocious. And VAR was brought in to help the referees, but with these idiots being referees, they make it worse, and it's just like... That's like at the top of the point, VAR wasn't brought in for that. It was brought in to change big decisions, and it's just a farce, absolute farce.
Two things from that, Kyle. Number one, you're absolutely spot on. VAR was brought in to reverse serious errors and therefore create less controversy around the refereeing of the game, but it is creating its own new controversies that didn't exist before. So it's self-defeating in that aspect. Number two, Kyle, I've heard a lot of grievances against referees. Them being rugby referees is not one of them. So it's a first. Well done. thanks for that. Let's move on, though, because time's taken. Elliot Anderson changed the game. I said he had a moment taken away from also Eddie Howe making that sub. It was just like, I think, you know, I said Matchday Podcast, which isn't out yet, but I'll get it out at some point for patrons. You know, I was just like, what a fucking sub. What a sub from Eddie Howe. It's the sub no one thought was coming. Mm. He brings on Anderson. It's a bit like Anderson in the Premier League hasn't really done it for Newcastle. Hasn't had a lot of opportunities. He was brilliant. I don't know if he changed the game because Newcastle were on top first half, but you listen to Isak post-match and he says the team, although they'd created a lot of chances first half, felt they'd underperformed somewhat. Anderson comes on and just causes chaos. He should have had a penalty, in my opinion. He held the ball up great. He found players. He ran at players. He just looked like a Premier League player, possibly for the first time. And what a player! What a sub! I don't know ASM. I don't want to go too hard on him because I was kind of furious with his first half performance. Then you hear that he was carrying an injury, and was it down to that? I don't know if that's just protecting the lad. I've no idea. I'm a big ASM fan. He was really bad. First half yesterday, he just couldn't get in the game.
He did put the ball through for Willock for the first goal, though, despite being clearly injured at that point. It's a hell of a ball through for Willock.
It's a lovely ball. He has that quality. It's one pass in 45 minutes. It's a crucial pass. But there are conversations about this player in this team, aren't there? There seem to be some suggestion as well that they weren't happy with him, the touchline, for lack of pressing. If it's down to an injury, and if he's played injured because Aaron and Gordon are both injured, you don't want to go too hard on the lad. So I'll kind of reserve judgment. Charlotte, we don't have loads of time, but we want to talk about other players last night. I don't know if any of you want to bring in any other players, but Charlotte, you were delighted with Kieran Trippier, were you not?
I'm just regularly delighted with Kieran Trippier, but yes, in particular, I can't get enough of the behaviour around the penalty. I think... and Chris Wolf's done a piece for The Athletic, and he sort of mentions this. Howe said in the post-match comments that we did get a little bit emotional. We did get a little bit... the occasion kind of overtook a little bit with some of our players, and the leaders are what really brought everybody back down to earth. And Kieran Trippier is that leader. He typifies that. and no better moment than injury time penalty that would decide the game, taking the ball, staring down Forest keeper, and with this shit-eating grin on his face that just like little smirk turning into, like, it's almost like a Simpsons cartoon, just it turning into a bigger grin on his face, like eyes half closed, just watching him get booked, finally the referee doing something with his cards later on in the game, watching him get booked, you know, taking all of the whatever game mind games that Forest are trying to play, and then just handing the ball to Alexander Isak, who hasn't been at all impacted by any of this nonsense, and letting Isak take the clarity of thought in that moment to just step forward and be able to do that is so impressive to me in that moment, in the extra time for this deciding moment. I fucking love him. I think he's amazing. And, you know, again, in the Athletic piece, even Sky Sports were fooled. They started, you know, from me watching on the telly, they started assessing what Kieran Trippier's penalty taking history is like. So it's like everybody, and I was sitting there thinking, is he going to take this? Is he going to take this when Isak's on the pitch? And then you realize as he just passes the ball over really calmly, I was like, What a guy. Si?
I loved Eddie Howe saying, oh yeah, that was nothing to do with me as yeah. well. He's like, I could have taken credit for that brilliant mastermind, but he's like, no, they just did it really clever. Trippier is incredible. He's really back to his best last few games. He's really, really, apart from slipping over against Wolves, he's been pretty much immaculate. His crossing's got better. His set pieces have got better. I mean, there's that beautiful little, I think it was first half, quick free kick to Isak again. We're going to talk about Isak again because I can't stop talking about him. Quick free kick, Isak on the turn, great chance again. Like, it's so clever. We're finding new ways to create chances because we were struggling with that, and it's down to the Trippier and his ingenuity. But I just want to talk about the wider team a bit, just generally again, because we've kind of got our groove back in terms of I've just clicked. We've got our groove back in terms of the press is back, the intensity is back. I thought that was the case against Wolves, but more so last night. I thought we were playing the game at a much higher pace than we have been for many weeks, and you can put that down to Isak being in the team a bit. You've got to give Murphy a bit of credit there. Willock being back in the team has been incredible. Two excellent performances from him, and it just means that we're playing the game much quicker and teams cannot handle us. That's why we're getting so much joy in front of goal again. That's why we're peppering teams, but then that press is working. Murphy does a lot for that. Isak maybe, Maximan was struggling clearly, but Anderson did his job with that. But also, as you say, Dodds, just really, really difficult to play against, really, really quick with his feet. Isak, Anderson, Willock, Bruno, all so quick with their feet now that it just means that we're doing everything much quicker than perhaps we were with some of the other players in the team. So it's really, really encouraging. And that press as well, even if they do clear that first line and get it to like the edge of the centre circle, then Bruno straight up their ass, Longstaff straight up their ass. Like they just couldn't get any joy. Very occasionally they slipped through, and Botman had one stinking moment, which we'll probably not dwell on because he just plays a blind pass stupidly across goal. But I'm really, really excited that we're back to where we were before the World Cup, in my opinion, in terms of that intensity, the momentum we've got in our favour again.
The mood, isn't it?
Definitely. And just want to shout out Fabian Shaw. When Botman does what Botman did for that Forest goal, Fabian kind of ran over to him, had a long old little chat while Botman was basically like bent over, unable to stand up straight. Such was his humiliation. And Shaw was basically, I imagine he was saying, Sven, you are handsome and tall. Really good at football, and I really like you, mate. And could you come out my house tomorrow night? Night time.
Meanwhile, Trippier's like, "How? We've got to kick off."
Botman did probably have his worst game for Newcastle, and we still won, so that's all. Yeah. Right. That shit happens. We're going to finish the show. We have so much more to talk about this game. So we do a show called The Review on Patreon, where we basically do a second one of these podcasts looking at games. So if you want to hear more and you're not already with us, come and join us on that one. Newcastle are in a great position, top four-wise. We have got games in hand. It is in, quite literally, our hands. Spurs can't say that. Liverpool, they can't say that. If Newcastle keep winning, they will finish in the Champions League. I am strongly of the belief that Newcastle are one of the four best teams in this division. Spurs, their manager's talking about leaving before the end of the season. Liverpool are 5 points behind us. It is in our hands. That's how big last night was. Top four would be amazing this season. But I think, you know, my expectations have changed as the season gone on, because I think Newcastle genuinely are one of the four best teams in this division. Last night was a huge step towards it. We have to keep doing things right. We have now Miguel Almirón out for 6 weeks. That's a huge blow. He's our top scorer. Anthony Gordon's injured. So there's a few things there. Callum Wilson couldn't come on last night. There are a few things there to get right moving forward. But what a win. What a position that puts us in. I absolutely fucking love that on 90 plus two last night, Liverpool fans, Spurs fans, maybe even Man United fans, where there's now 3 points behind them and we'll play them next. And if we beat them, we'll go above them. They're watching that game thinking, get in. We've got away with this. This lot have battered Forest and they're only going to get a point. And they're all absolutely gutted when Alexander Isak does what he does at 90 plus three or whenever it was. Psychological warfare. You mentioned it, Charlotte, about Kieran Trippier. We're good at it. We're gonna hunt these guys down. Spurs have got Southampton away later today. Then they've got Everton away after the international break. Not easy away games. We found that out last night playing teams at the bottom of the division. I'm just really, really enthusiastic about Newcastle's top four prospects after that win. Okay, we're going to leave this podcast there. Thanks to you three for joining me this morning. Thanks to everyone who listens. We really, really appreciate it. Loads more coming up on Patreon. Come and join us. Get involved with us for this ride as we hurtle towards the Champions League. And thanks for listening. See you all very soon. Bye-bye.